Good evening and welcome to Cabinet this evening on the 6th of June. Can I just state that this meeting will be recorded and the sound recording subsequently made available via the Council's website. In addition, under the Local Authorities Executive Arrangements, Meetings and Access Information England Regulation 2012, other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any such images or sound recordings is not under the Council's control. So we have no, item one, we have no apologies for this evening's meeting, which takes us on to item two, which is disclosures of pecuniary and personal interest. Can I ask whether anyone has any interest that they wish to declare? No, nope, I can't see any hands raised. So in which case we'll go on to item three, which is leader's announcements. This evening I have no announcements. So we now go on to item four, which are minutes of the previous meeting. The meeting was the 11th of April 2019. We actually have two sets of minutes. One are the public and the other is the exempt. Are there any items of clarity or changes that anyone wishes to make in either of those sets of minutes? Otherwise, is everyone happy and content that those are a record, decent record of the meeting?
Yep.
All those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you very much. Right, now on to item five, questions under Cabinet Procedure 10.7. We had a question which has been tabled and published, which was from Mr. Hunt. A response has been passed to him, and that's been published as well. Mr. Hunt has not been able to attend this evening's meeting, but has sent an email to thank us for the response that has been sent to him and published. So there is no other matter to discuss in relation to that. So that moves us on to item six, which is the Charnwood Grants round one for 2019 and 20. So if I invite Verity Graham, who is our Neighbourhoods and Partnerships Manager, to the table and ask Councillor Taylor to introduce the report and then pass over to Verity to continue any items as well.
Thank you, Leader. The report sets out recommendations in relation to the community facilities and the community development and engagement grant applications that we received in this round. The panel were pleased to see a number of new organisations applying for funding through these grant schemes that have not previously applied, 8 out of the 11 receives. Where applications have been unsuccessful, the Council's VCS development officers can support these organisations to revisit their application to look at alternative ways of funding their schemes. For the community facility grant applications, two applications were received in this round. One is for a grant towards the upgrade of the lighting at Seagrave Moor Memorial Hall, and the other for a grant towards the creation of additional wetland reed bed at Watermead Country Park, and both of those are recommended for approval. Nine applications were received in this round for the community development and engagement grant applications, and the grants panel are recommending that five of the applications are awarded a grant, with one being partially funded through the Loughborough Grant Scheme. One is recommended to be deferred and three are recommended to be declined. The panel were pleased to see a wide-ranging set of applications and are recommending support of a diverse set of projects ranging from support for older people aimed at tackling social isolation, a self-help group and a pilot project aimed at supporting sex workers and providing these vulnerable individuals with support and advice where it has been identified that there are no current services meeting this need. The panel continues to recognise the positive outcomes that the Men and Women in Sheds project is delivering and the positive impact it's having on participants' mental health and addressing social isolation. The panel recognises that the group continue to explore ways to generate income and move projects towards sustainability. The amount awarded has been reduced in line with previous years with the aim of moving the group towards a position of non-reliance on this grant. The panel also recognised the positive impact from the Falcon Support Services Sex Worker Support Project would have and how it would improve the life chances and opportunities of vulnerable people involved in sex work. It's been identified locally as an increasing issue and that the circumstances and vulnerabilities of those involved make them particularly susceptible to becoming victims of exploitation. There is currently a gap in current services provision to address these needs and the organisation has proactively sought advice from other agencies who deliver similar projects in Nottinghamshire and Leicester City to help inform the development of the project. The panel recognised the need for the pilot and could see the synergy with the substance misuse project that had previously been awarded a grant. In addition, the organisation is proactively looking at other funding opportunities regarding longer-term funding if the pilot is successful. The panel were also pleased to receive an application from the Midor Neuralgia Friends Together, an organisation which has not previously applied. The panel could see the proactive work that this self-help group were undertaking to support individuals with this condition and the positive impact that this would have. However, the panel had some reservations regarding some elements of the project, such as the access fund and the IT equipment, and therefore recommended a lower award in line with the score achieved. The panel are recommending that the Loughborough Generator and CIC project is deferred to a further round. The panel were unclear about the current purpose of the application, the outcomes to be achieved during the development phase, and a significant amount of the costs identified in the application were not eligible under this grant scheme. A meeting has taken place with the applicant to explain this in more details. All the rest of the details of the grant applications are contained within the report. I'll pass over to Verity to add anything further.
I haven't really got anything to add, but I'm happy to answer questions.
Thank you very much, Verity. Are there any other any questions anyone wishes to ask? Can I just chip in one to start off with, and then pass over to Councillor Mercer? So, in particular, good to see a huge range of different projects, I have to say, and also that many of these are actually projects that haven't actually come to us before, but also diverse as far as the spread across the borough, which is great, all the way from Watermead all the way up to Loughborough. So very interesting descriptions of what a lot of the works do and hopefully how the grants will actually then help each of those organisations to provide better services to residents. So at that point, I'm going to ask Councillor Mercer, because he has a question.
Thank you, Leader. Just a quick one, one question, Verity. Age UK with the people in sheds, which I think is a very worthy cause, but what's that got to do with Age UK in Leicestershire? Because that's a very large organisation with a huge budget and huge reserves. I've no problem at all about supporting this, but is there any reason why Age UK itself doesn't support this, given their £6 million they've got sitting in the bank?
So to answer that, we did look at that, and obviously we get all the financials that come through as part of the application process. Age UK nationally is an umbrella organisation and therefore would have funds that are for the national delivery of certain services that they do. Age UK Leicestershire has its own version and obviously does cover the whole of the county. So moving down into projects, they can't always fund the projects wholly, which is why we started funding this project. I think we're in the fourth year of funding it now. And it is trying to support them to get it to become more self-sustaining. So I know Councillor Taylor's purchased things to help contribute to that. So whilst it is a national organisation, we get this on quite a lot of grants where there's an overarching organisation and sometimes they have to show those financials as well to us. But we are aware that there's a reduced allocation for a locality-based project.
So I wasn't referring to the national organisation. Age UK Leicestershire and Rutland employs over 400 people and has reserves of 6.45 million. I just wondered why they aren't paying for it.
Sorry. I think their reserves are used, their funding are used for a lot of things. So they do, obviously through the Age UK shops and stuff, generate income to support other projects. Because we've been funding this for quite a while, you have to forgive me because I can't remember, but we did look into this and we continue to look into what their income is. But as a sort of trying to be a self-sustaining project, when we first awarded this for Men in Sheds, we agreed that they had demonstrated enough reason for us to help contribute to the funding with some match funding from themselves. And we've continued to reduce the amount that we're supplying to them on the basis that they have got other funding streams. And they have increased profit that they can contribute toward it.
Thanks, Lauren. I'll come to you, Mark, in a couple of seconds. And certainly, I mean, it's well worth, I know Councillor Taylor's obviously been down to their industrial unit, and likewise I have as well. And I have to say it's not what you expect, which is actually quite quite interesting, and certainly if anyone hasn't been down there, it's well worth doing, and certainly as far as materials. I think I ended up contributing a collection of old railway equipment, because actually one of the things they have is actually a model railway set up, which some of their some of those the people that actually attend decided to actually sort of focus on building a model railway set. So it really is quite a diverse collection of things that they actually do, and certainly I know they have talked to us about having a market stall to be able to sell some of the products that they actually make and things like that. It's Councillor Smidowitz.
Yes, thank you, Councillor Smidowitz. I was just wondering, are we still funding the men in sheds at all, or are they completely self-sufficient then
no,
now?
This is what this is a grant to the men in sheds project.
I was thinking of you had one for women in.
The way it works is that they have had a couple of days that they allocate to women in sheds. So it's extended their hours, so to speak. So they're only open a certain amount of days, and they've increased that for the women in sheds. But it's they're looking at combining it, because obviously it's the same venue, the running costs come from the same location. To be honest, when we've visited, because of the different skills that different members bring, it's quite mixed in terms of men and women sheds using it at the same time, because sometimes they'll go in with projects where somebody has the skills that can help them either one way or the other. So it's not that rigid in terms of men and women in sheds, but it's been a very positive experience for a lot of the women that we spoke to. From that point of view, but it is to all intents and purposes the same, but they've just added to the name really and the time for the women to go.
In which case, can I ask Councillor Taylor to summarise, and then I'm going to ask Councillor Boko whether you'd like to second.
I'd like to propose the recommendations on page 8 for the reasons given on page 9.
And I'd like to second that, Leader.
Thank you very much. Can I see all of those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Verity, as well. Now on to item 7, which is the Quorn Neighbourhood Plan. So can I ask Richard Bennett, who's our Head of Planning and Regeneration, to the table, and Councillor Vardy, if I can ask you to introduce the report and then pass over to Richard Bennett for any further questions.
Yes, thank you, Leader. Yes, sir. This report seeks your approval for the Quorn Neighbourhood Plan to be made as part of the statutory development plan for the neighbourhood area. This will fulfil the legal duty to make the Quorn Neighbourhood Plan part of the development plan for Charnwood. A neighbourhood plan, once made or adopted, becomes part of the statutory development plan and sits alongside Charnwood Local Plan 2011 to 2028. If approved today, applications for planning permission will be determined in accordance with the whole development plan for Charnwood, which will include the Quorn Neighbourhood Plan. This plan has been subject to much consultation, including a referendum and a public inspection. So I'll just hand over Richard now to answer any technical points.
Thank you, Councillor Vardy. Through you, Leader. So, as Eric says, this seeks your consideration tonight to make the Quorn Neighbourhood Plan. The work itself has been led entirely by the Quorn Parish Council, and it's been prepared by their Neighbourhood Plan Advisory Committee. It's a good example of the local community and parish council representatives working together at the local level to undertake plan making. It has been supported by planning officers throughout its process, although it's important to recognise that this is the plan of the Quorn Parish Council and not the Borough Council. So, just to remind ourselves, the parish was designated a neighbourhood area back in December 2016, which gives you sort of an idea of the time scale it's been involved in preparing this document. And I think if members have had an opportunity to look at the appendix to Part B of the report, you can see how extensive that document is and the range of issues that have been covered there and the number of different policies that have been brought forward by the committee. A draft of that plan was subject to consultation in July to September 2017, and the plan was then revised in light of the comments received and then submitted to the Council as part of the formal process in October 2018. The Council then subjected it to 6 weeks of further consultation, so there's really been a lot of opportunity for local people to comment on this document, which enhances its robustness. At that time, the Council appointed an independent examiner to look at the document, to examine it, and that examination took place in January of this year. And that was to test the plan against the basic conditions, which are listed in paragraph 13 of the Part B of the report. And the inspector found that, subject to a number of minor modifications, the plan should progress to a formal referendum, which took place alongside the elections in the 2nd of May. And the outcome of that was 85% of the votes cast were in favour of the plan being made and used in decision-making. So under the planning rules, the Council has a duty to make this plan. So it then becomes part of the development plan, as Councillor Vardy was explaining earlier on. So this is the recommendation that's before the Cabinet tonight. It's for the plan to be made, to become part of the development plan. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Richard. Are there any questions that anyone wishes to ask about the Quorn plan? Can I just say, I mean, reading it, you're right, it's actually quite a good document to read. It's certainly easy to understand, but also the level of detail is quite interesting. I think it always never ceases me to surprise me the historical boundaries of some of our parishes. Obviously, are sort of based on geographical features, particularly the river in this particular instance, and hence the reason that actually there were sort of chunks of land and bits of what a lot of people would always assume to be part of other sort of parishes. Actually in Quorn itself, so actually quite a large area, but then likewise trying to find the unique character of Quorn and actually understanding how any future development is going to add to that and actually be part of that community, I think is quite important, and certainly this plan has a pretty good go at making that real. So very good work as far as they're concerned. 85% is still an extremely good vote in favour, and given it was actually on a voting day itself, actually I suspect turnout was probably higher than any other local plan that we've actually had through so far, any of the previous three. So 85% of what I suspect was probably quite a high turnout compared to some of the others is actually a very, very good figure. I think most of us would probably be very happy if we actually got 85% of the vote. Any other questions? Otherwise, I'm going to ask Councillor Vardy to sum up, and then I'm going to ask Councillor Poland, who was born, I think, in Quorn.
Lived
there for a long time. Okay, in which case has a strong affinity to Quorn, will second.
Yes, thank you. Just before I make the recommendation, I think it's also important the whole process of this leads to some kind of community cohesion. It brings our communities together with a common purpose and actually taking some responsibility and ownership, if you like, for their own communities. So I think, yes, we've got a plan at the end, and there's some technical bits and things like that, but it actually more than that, the ones that I've been engaged with in the process. So I think it's excellent for another process, for another part, for another reason. So I'd like to propose a recommendation on page one for the reason given on the same page.
Thank you, Leader. You're quite right about the boundaries being quite unusual. It always makes me smile that Barrow Football Club are actually a Quorn team, but there we are. I take great pleasure as an ex-Quorn Parish Councillor myself in seconding this.
Thank you very much. They're probably only a Quorn team when they win. Can I see all of those in favour? And that's everyone. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Richard, as well. So, we're now on to item 8, which is the appointments to outside bodies and charitable organisations for the 2019 and 2020 period.
Councillor Poland, I'm going to ask you to introduce the report, and then if there are any questions, then Adrian Ward, as our Head of Strategic Support, is available to answer. Thank you.
Thank you again, Leader. So this is an annual task that we have, all outside appointments that Chelmsford Borough Council has on varying outside bodies and charities are officially done by ourselves at Cabinet. So that's what we're here to do today. For the most part, we've reappointed members to positions they held last year and the last term. Because of the elections and because of people choosing to stand down, we have had a few vacancies. For the most part, we've filled them with either like-for-like ward members, where there's been a retirement and it's been a local connection, or alternatively where there's been other members express interest or have an outside knowledge that we felt would be useful for those bodies. In addition to the nominations obviously set out in the document, I'm also going to move that Councillor Jenny Boker is added to the Charnwood Talking News appointment that's currently down as a vacancy, and that Councillor Lee Harper-Davies is likewise appointed to the Holocaust Memorial Day Organising Committee, which again is currently down as a vacancy.
Do we have any questions, or is there anything particular, Adrian, that you wish to add?
One very minor point, thank you, Leader. I think taking into account the two extra nominations that Councillor Poland is proposing tonight, that just leaves one other vacancy, which will be a Labour appointment. And obviously, if the Labour group do nominate anybody, I can then deal with that under delegated authority.
Thank you very much. I think there was also a query about a lay member as well, Councillor Poland.
Yeah, I've noticed that's in the report, so whoever they are is back on the list again. So it was Mrs. For the purposes of the minute, Mrs. Tomlinson. So.
Thank you very much. Any other questions? Councillor Boker.
It's just an observation on page 10 that I should really be addressed as Councillor J. Boker and not J. Boker.
Okay. Titles are important. Yes. Otherwise, a doppelganger who goes by the same name will end up with all the paperwork. Councillor Vardy.
Thank you. Yes, just a thing, there's an awful lot of interesting and important groups here that we represent. Do we publish this list so our communities know if they have a comment to make on any particular aspect of this? Do they know where to go to? I won't assume you'll say it's on the website.
I think it's probably a question for Councillor... not Councillor, I was going to say. Adrian, to answer. I was just about to get confused over titles.
Leader, I don't think we publish it separately, but obviously the Cabinet report is a public document. So anybody that was interested, we could signpost them towards the Cabinet report.
I mean, actually, the other thing I'd add is actually when you look through this, you realise how much involvement the councillors as a body have in all sorts of community groups and organisations across the whole of the borough, and it's actually quite impressive. You know, I think a lot of people sometimes assume that we just turn up to the odd council meeting and collect an allowance and go home, and actually the truth is, you know, all of us are embedded in our communities, not only through the work that we do as councillors, but actually in all the ancillary organisations that we belong to. And there are many others that actually aren't appointed by the council that many councillors get involved with in their spare time anyway. So, yeah, we truly are part of our communities. So if there are no other questions, what I'm going to ask is Councillor Poland to make a proposal and ask Councillor Smidovich to second.
Thank you again, Leader. I don't know if you want me to do this sort of officially for the minute. I recommend recommendations 1, 2 and 3 on page 2 with the addition of Councillor Boker on Charnwood Talking News and Councillor Harper-Davies on the Holocaust Organising Committee. For reasons 1, 2 and 3, also on page 2. I think that's enough, isn't it?
Yes, I'm happy to second that.
Can I see all those in favour? And that's everyone. Thank you very much. Okay, we're now on to item 9, so I need to read out this before Laura gets to the button. Item 9 is about exempt information, and this is whether we resolve to exclude members of the public from the meeting during the consideration of the following item on the grounds that it will involve the likely disclosure of exempt information as defined in paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 12A to the Local Government Act 1972, and it is considered that the public interest in maintaining the exemption outweighs the public interest in disclosing the information. Do I see all of those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you very much.